Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And when you get there, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes on Sunday, every Sunday afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. And also the blog, which you can get at the homepage there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Or you can go to jimsblog.biz. And that's every day, everything that we do here during the day. The archives of the shows and at least one article is posted on the blog every day. So I hope you'll check that out. We got a lot more stuff coming for the blog in the future, so pay attention to that. And we'll send you the blog, by the way, if you want us to. We have the technology. You can get it right on our site for free, and we'll make sure that you get it. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And our good friend, Joan, welcome back to the show.
Hey there, Jim. I'm waiting for my compliment.
Well, today's National Compliment Day. You're waiting on me.
Well, that's why I'm waiting for it.
Joan, you're just the coolest, smartest lady I know.
Wow. I like this National Compliment Day.
How about
that's pretty
that?
Good. That's pretty
that?
Good.
Okay. Now, the moment's not going to last long here, Joan.
That's true.
We're not going to have a long moment here, so anything you'd like to say to me?
I can't think of anything.
That's what I figured. Do you remember the story about the... About the little dance that the junior high was having? You know, these are like 7th, 8th, 9th graders. You know, they just, you know, didn't quite know what, the boys and girls didn't quite know what to, you know, what to do with each other, so to speak. And so there was this boy that was over on one side of the gym, and the little girl was on the other side. And one of the coaches walked up and said, "Why don't you go over and ask her to dance?" And he said, "I don't know what to say." He said, "Well, just say something nice to her." And so he went. The little boy went over and asked her to dance. And while they were dancing, they stopped dancing, and she slapped him.
Ooh!
And the little boy walked back across the gym, and the coach walked over and said, "What happened? What did you say?" He said, "Well, you told me to compliment her." And he said, "Well, what did you say?" He said, "I just said, for a fat girl, you don't sweat much."
Yeah. See, he forgot to say no backhanded compliments.
That's right.
That's a great way to start off this.
Well, you know, the kids
segment.
Have to learn these things, you know. Joan, congratulations on your letter this week.
Why do you say that?
Well,
Thank you. Because
you led with some serious small business stuff.
Well, it's pretty important.
It is important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you guys always have great stuff for small business, but this has us front and center. We're right up there in the marquee, aren't we?
Well, we're trying to have even more stuff for small business because we do think it's so important.
After, you know, I figured after 8 years I would rub off on them a little bit, folks.
Took a while.
The economy is going to get a little shot in the arm, according to Kiplinger, and it's because of who, Joan? Pass a compliment here.
Of your listeners, small business owners. We're saying that there's rising optimism among them. I mean, not that they haven't sort of been the engine for the economy for years and years now.
We're pathological optimists, Joan.
Well, you kind of have to be, I would think.
We do. That's right. It's a defense mechanism.
That's right.
But no, you're right. And not only, you know, and just to back up what you guys are saying, as my audience knows, this month, they've heard from two different polls, one from the NFIB, Bill Dunkelberg's poll of hundreds and hundreds of small businesses out there that we report on every month. They've also heard from Sam Norwood's Tatum Partners poll, which polls just a little bit higher a level of small businesses that maybe have, you know, 50 to 100 employees, a lot of them at that level. And both of those polls back up everything that you're saying about the confidence of small businesses.
Right, exactly.
Not just about where they've been, but where they're going.
Well, and that's the key, because what have you done for me lately kind of thing. The economy wants to know what small business owners are going to be doing for it in 2006.
Right.
And quite a bit, it turns out, because they do have plans for hiring and for expanding production and increasing inventories.
Right. Well, and capital purchases.
Right.
And Joan, think about this. In the face of 7.25 prime interest rate.
Yes.
Which means that we pay more than that.
Yeah.
In the face of that kind of, because we live in the world of prime plus, we don't borrow money. Most of us, most small business owners don't borrow money at prime.
We
borrow
right.
at prime plus.
Right.
And in the face of that, having, as you know, Joan, 2 years ago, it was 3 points less than that.
That's right.
And in the face of $2.50 now a gallon gas, typically almost $70 a barrel on the petroleum, and all that has to do with inflation. It's in the face of all that, small businesses are still robust, and the world's better off for it, aren't we?
No, no question about it.
Yeah, the capital for startups. For startup businesses and expansions, you guys tell us it's still going to be available. The money is still going to be out there. Banks still want to make loans, don't they?
Well, I think we had written a couple months ago that they were getting a little bit choosier, but they do still want to make loans.
Well, of course, the good news, Joan, is that the better the economy gets and the more pricing power small businesses have, the more profitable they can be.
Right.
And the better their financials look. And so more and more businesses that maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago weren't the cherry loan customers are now looking a little bit better.
I see. Yes, exactly.
So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy upward, not downward.
Right.
Another thing that you guys talk about is some of the areas that the small businesses are going to be growing in, and you list healthcare and information technology are some businesses that are going to be strong for the future. Give us some reasons why.
Right. Well, and the big thing here is the aging of the population. As the baby boomers move toward retirement, you're going to need more healthcare services, and you're just also going to need to think about starting a business or getting into an area that the boomers are interested in because it's just of their sheer numbers, they seem to drive this economy.
I saw the other day a stat that said that we're going to soon be short nurses by 1 million.
Wow.
We're 1 million nurses short. Can you believe that number? That just blows me away.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, as you say, I mean, you know, my generation, Joan, of which you're at the tail end, is we're getting older.
Right.
And I see, believe it or not, folks, when I hear that, I see small businesses. And when we come back after these messages, I'll explain what I mean by that. Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. She's our guest, and I'm still waiting on my compliment. Stay with us.
Well, I was rolling down the road in some cold blue steel. I had a blues man on the back and a beautician out there.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And folks, let me remind you, or let me tell you, I don't think I've mentioned it up to now. Tomorrow, when you hear me, I will be broadcasting live from Providence, Rhode Island, where the Cape Cod Banking Association has invited me to come up and speak to them. And I'm going to be one of the things I like to do is talk to banks and about how to speak small business as a second language. And so I'll be talking to them up there. And so next time you hear me after today, I'll be in Providence, Rhode Island, looking forward to getting up there and meeting with those folks. The banks are some of my favorite folks in there. And whether you know it or not, folks, they're your favorite folks, too. And by the way, that's the ABA Marketing Network of New England, which is a lot of the bankers in the New England area up there. So I'm looking forward to meeting with them. In fact, I'll have some of the bank attendees on the show tomorrow. I'm looking forward to introducing you to them and letting you hear some of these bankers talk about what they've got on their mind for small businesses. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, when we took the break, I was talking about a shortfall of 1 million nurses in the future.
Yes.
And at some point in the future, I don't know exactly when that's going to be, but I see business opportunity in that. You know how?
How would that?
A lot of people think, well, nurses, you know, where are we going to put all those people in the hospital, right?
Right.
They're not going to be in the hospital.
Oh, are they going to be home?
They're going to be all over the place. and with an elderly parent as you have, needing health care, you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
And so my point is,
and it's not just nurses; it's also, pardon me, it's home health aides.
That's right.
You know, just people who can just provide assistance, and you know, just having something like that is a difference between being home and being in a mm-hmm. nursing facility.
And see, Joan, here's what the interesting thing about what really is an emerging industry, isn't it? That whole thing is an emerging industry.
Right.
As it builds and matures, it starts to stratify. And you start finding people who are consumers of those products at all different levels. You've got people who are consumers at one level, which is where the government pays for everything. And you've got consumers at the other level, which are where the insurance company pays for everything. They're really well insured. And in the middle, you got people who say, I want this. I want it a certain way. And I want it on a certain day. And I'm willing to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody will create a business that will deliver that service at that moment.
Right.
And that's the reason why the beautiful part about a free market economy is that if you can find a way to deliver a service or a product customized the way people want it, mm-hmm. somebody will pay for that.
That's right.
And all you got to do is figure out how to deliver it. And see, that's the reason why small businesses are so optimistic right now.
And because they see the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Right.
And if they're already in business, they're seeing other opportunities out there.
Well, and they're probably a lot more nimble than many really large companies and can respond to those. So.
Absolutely. Well, and see, all you have to do, Joan, is say they're nimble. Because they don't have to be a lot more nimble because big businesses are not the least bit nimble.
Oh, I see.
And then they admit that. I mean, they recognize that. And that's, Joan, that's another reason why it's an exciting time to be a small business owner, because big businesses now realize that their nimbleness that they need is not going to come from themselves. It's going to come from partnering with small businesses.
Ah.
See? Have you ever seen the little fish that go in the mouth of the shark and clean their teeth? You ever seen that on the Discovery Channel?
No.
Yeah, there are sharks that swim around with their mouth open, and they're these little fish. I think they call them wrasse. This is a true story. And they swim inside the mouth of the shark, and they clean their teeth.
Ooh.
See? And so that's what small businesses are. We're these little fish that swim around these big sharks, and we do all these little jobs that they can't do.
Okay.
That they can't do without.
I had not thought of it that way.
You only get this stuff here, Joan.
Boy, I can see that.
Yeah.
Gee.
Talk to us about franchises. What are the hot franchises that are coming up?
Well, this is kind of interesting. A lot of franchises are being built up around the concept of customers who have not enough time on their hands, but extra disposable income. So that means you might get franchises built around the idea of either running errands or performing handyman services, things like that. Another interesting franchise opportunity is meal assembly stores, which I find interesting. I've read about this, where you go to the location and they have everything all chopped up and laid out, and you just mm-hmm. put it together, bring it home, and cook it.
Yep. Joan, you said this earlier when you just described this earlier just a few seconds ago, maybe without realizing it. I don't know. Probably you did realize it because you've heard me say this many times before.
Yeah.
People more and more, human beings more and more at more levels of the socioeconomic continuum, are valuing their time more than their money. And where in that fact lies mm-hmm. is where opportunity lies.
Yes.
People are valuing their time more than their money, and that's incredible opportunity for not just a small business owner, but you got to be entrepreneurial about that. You got to see the opportunity and go for it. And what you guys are saying is that the people are creating franchises for those things.
Yes, exactly.
A business in a box, almost kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
see, franchising. I call franchising entrepreneurship, entrepreneurial coloring inside the lines.
My
Ah.
You don't have to create the idea. Somebody else has the idea. You just have to have the ability to buy what they have and license
it. Yeah.
And execute it. Bingo. That's exactly right. Well said. Quick break. Right back with Joan Pride. We got a little more small business stuff. Then we're going to move on to some other things that are also important for your small business. Stay with us.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and my newsletter is there. You can subscribe, and we'll send it to you on Sunday afternoon, every Sunday afternoon. We're now in our seventh year of the newsletter, and that's a weekly thing. And then the blog is 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. We'll send you that too. The Real Simple Syndication is a pretty cool technology that we'll link you to how you can get free that technology for free, by the way. And if you don't know about RSS, you need to check it out. It's a new technology. Remember when the first person said you ought to check in the email and you never heard of it before, and now you're so glad that you did, Joan? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That's Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Well, RSS is, I think, for a lot of people, they don't realize that RSS is out there, Real Simple Syndication, and it's not unlike email, only in some ways it's better than email. Some ways it's not.
How can it be better?
Well, it performs a different service, but in terms of getting information that you want, it can be better than email. But and for one thing, there's no spam.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
not yet.
That's true.
Well,
it really shouldn't be, because it's pretty much a totally opt-in system.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, that's we have the blog available that way, and you can check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget all the other things there as well. Joan, the current forecast that you guys have up there, the GDP, you're still saying is going to be over 3%, 3.3%.
Right.
Interest rates, though, you say that the prime rate is going to go up to 8%. Now, what is the Fed funds right now? 4.25, 4.5, 4.25.
That I don't know.
I think it's 4.25. That's, you know, it's got to go up 3 more raises, which I think it could do that. I think you guys could be right about that.
Yeah,
but it won't be more than that. And by the way, next week's a big week, isn't it, for the Fed?
Is this the first week of Mr. Bernanke?
No.
Oh,
it's the last week.
What, last week of Mr. Greenspan?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that in just a minute. So hold on to your hats for that, folks. But we'll have to see. Mr. Bernanke will want to make his mark there, and we'll cover that in a second. Inflation is moderating, and that's good news, isn't it, Joan? 2.8%. Do you know why it's going to be moderating, meaning not going up too fast?
Well, I would have to. I can only guess. I would have to guess it has to do with oil prices.
Well, yeah, I think it has to do. I think oil is still an influence in inflation significantly, obviously. But I think it has to do with the fact that there was an awful lot of the reason we saw such an increase, Joan. Over the last year or so, there was an awful lot of pent-up pricing power demand. There were a lot of companies out there, especially small companies, that desperately needed to raise their prices to cover some expenses. And when the opportunity presented itself, when the economy picked up enough where folks would actually pay a little bit more for stuff and could afford to pay a little bit more for stuff, when employment got up enough,
mm-hmm.
I think that allowed people to raise prices, which they needed to do to improve their profitability. But that caused a real spike in inflation.
Oh, I see.
So that's my story anyway. you guys are still saying almost 2 million jobs?
We sure are.
this year.
You know, it's more like 1.8, but
well, that's almost
we say
2 million. That's almost
there.
I'm almost two. I'm a rounding kind of guy.
You're a glass half full kind of guy.
That's exactly right, Joan. Let's talk about that for just a second, and overlay what happened to Ford this week. You know the announcement Mr. Ford made.
Well, major cutbacks to try to streamline, and it's sort of a last-ditch effort to save the company, pretty much.
Exactly. How many jobs? 35,000, was it?
Oh, gosh. That sounds about right.
I was thinking it was – I saw two or three numbers, but one of the numbers I saw was like 35,000.
I know. It's in the tens of thousands.
This is cold comfort, Joan, for the people who lost their job.
Oh, sure.
Who are losing their job. What I'm about to say is cold comfort. And it's not any kind of comfort. It means nothing to them. But in terms of the whole economy, Joan, I did a little calculation. And based on your numbers, the United States creates that many jobs every 6 days.
Well, that may be some comfort because they're going to need a new job.
Well, yeah. But the point is if it's not your job that's being lost... When you look at that and you say, wow, that can't be good for us, folks, every 6 days, America absorbs that many people into the workforce.
Right.
So it's a pretty darn robust economy, and I don't want to see anything bad happen to Ford, but we're going to be okay. The U.S. economy is, regardless of what they do. Quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little politics with Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Stay with us. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate in Providence, Rhode Island. I'm coming to see you.
Providence.
That's right. Batting down your hatches, Providence. I'm going to be coming up there and casting my pot beads before a few bankers up there tomorrow, Joan, and,
And
broadcasting my show from there.
It'll never be the same.
Joan, I get off the air and go immediately. Within 15 minutes, I got to be in front of the audience. So I'll have to have my water on the go there. Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, and she's with Kiplinger, as you know, and they have an outstanding website, and I like telling people about it because I think it's a valuable one that you can use, and there's a lot of free stuff there. There's also a subscriber section that I encourage you to be part of as well. But the Kiplinger letter is now in its 80-something year, 1923. What would it be, 85 years, is that right?
Yes.
Joan, something like the 83 years, I guess, 84 years.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I'll do the math for you, Joan. That comes weekly, and then there are three biweekly letters, the California, the tax, and the agriculture letters,
right.
Three different biweekly letters, and then there's a magazine that Joan's going to tell you about.
You bet. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And what's it all about, Joan?
Well,
it's
not just, it's investing for the future, but it's also, looking into vehicles for putting money aside for college, even to the point of things like, buying the best new car.
A little consumer advice in there, too.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And especially if you're buying equipment for your business, it's good for that, too.
Sure.
And you can subscribe to all of those or any of them, and you can host the magazines also on the newsstand, but at the website at Kiplinger.com, and give us that phone number, Joan.
Right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And folks, as you know, if I didn't think that Kiplinger was worthy of your time and money, I wouldn't be telling you about it.
That's right.
And they really are. I've been availing myself of Kiplinger's wisdom for a long time. Not all the way back to 1923, but maybe 73, maybe that far back. Joan, let's talk about politics. Do you feel like the members of Congress feel like they just got slimed by one of the Ghostbusters ghosts? You know what I mean? Remember when the ghosts would slime them and it would just cover them with this jello looking stuff? Remember that? Don't you feel like some of those that the folks up there feel like that's what's happened to them with this Abramoff thing?
Well, yeah, it's kind of this ooze that keeps spreading.
Yeah. And it's heavy
like
on the Republican
Exxon
side,
Valdez
but not
of Congress.
I like that's better than
thank
that's
you.
Better
I just
than,
came
than
up with that.
Yeah, how about that? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
The it's heavy on the Republican side, but it's not. But it is a. It is. It is
not equal, exclusively.
It is
Republican,
an equal opportunity slime, isn't it, John?
Well, to a certain extent, yes. The only thing is that because the Republicans had more power, they had more ability to wield it. And but Abramoff certainly did give to both sides.
Is there going to be reform?
Well, we're just saying only modest reform. We're not saying any big,
lip
huge
service?
Overhaul.
You're talking lip service here?
Well, I guess I'd call it tweaking.
Yeah. Well, and one of the problems is the earmarking, isn't it? Isn't that where the challenge is?
I don't think that's really going to be
Can you explain that? Can you explain why that's the problem?
Well, I call earmarking just pork barrel.
Yeah.
That's all it is. A congressperson getting something into a bill for their district, and that isn't going to benefit any other district in the country, only their district. We used to call it rifle shots.
Like the bridge to nowhere in Arkansas, Alaska, right?
It may be something that is of use, but it's certainly only of use in that district. And so that money goes like a rifle shot right into that area.
And it gets them, that community, to reelect them.
Exactly.
Help them reelect. So basically, it becomes a drug for those for politicians, and an essential tool for the incumbency.
No question about it.
And so, what a lot of people are saying, Joan, is that you know, don't expect these people to detox themselves.
Right, and remember, you know, we the voters are at fault too, because you see the polls all the time. People don't like Congress, but they like their own congressperson.
Yeah. All politics is local, I guess.
No question. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so it'll be interesting to see, and of course, with an election year coming up, Joan, it will really be interesting in November to see how things are going. And of course, we may know a little bit about this with the primaries, the local primaries coming up, and to see who winds up winning in the local primaries.
That's right.
Okay, Joan. Kiplinger says that small banks are going to start being gobbled up even more by big banks. What's up with that?
Well, we're saying that there's a whole group of banks that were started as S corporations, which is considered, you know, a C corporation is your basic company. An S corporation is where everything is passed through on a tax basis to the shareholders or partners or whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
So the oldest ones of these are about to turn 10, and that's the point at which if you were to sell the company, you would not have to pay, you would not take a big capital gains hit.
Ah.
So we think that a lot of these are going to be sold off.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it'll be interesting to see if that's what happens. And the point, folks, that the reason I wanted Joan to make sure we talked about this, is you need to find out if the bank, the small independent bank that you're doing business with, might be one of these guys.
Right.
Because however you're doing business with that bank right now, if they sell to a larger bank, you won't be doing business with them the same way.
Right.
I'm not saying you won't like it. It'll just be different.
Yeah.
And it might not be the way you want it to be.
Right.
And this Joan, is where I bring up my perennial advice. Never do business with just one bank. Always have a second bank that you do some business with. It's an important security step to take there, folks. Quick break. Right back with Joan Pride. We're going to talk about the Fed right after these messages. Stay with us.
On a mountain looking down on a city, the way he ought to be is a doggone pity.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Joan Pride is our guest. Joan, the Fed is meeting next week on the 31st, I guess it is.
Right.
And on Tuesday, the 31st. And that will be the official last meeting of, and the last day, I guess, of Mr. Greenspan's tenure his 18-and-a-half-year tenure
Wow.
as the Fed chairman. I'm not sure. Has there ever been a Fed chairman as long as lasted as long as he has?
I can't imagine that, but that would be a good thing to find out. Why don't you find that out for us, Jeff?
I'll do. Within the next 2 weeks, I'll know about that because I'll talk to somebody who will know.
Isn't it hard to clean out your office if you've been there for 18 years?
You know, how old is he, 85 or 6?
No.
Oh, yes.
He's that old?
He's in his 80s.
Well, he's starting a consulting firm, you know.
Good for him. Yeah, he's 83 or 4, something like that. But, I mean, the guy is just like, he's just like a spring steel. He's like the Ever-Ready Bunny. He just keeps on going. Mind like a trap. And just, I mean, he's my hero. I haven't always agreed with everything that he's done. I think that they've made some mistakes in the last 12 months. But
it looks like he's 79 or 80.
Oh, I thought he was older than that. Anyway, maybe I'm thinking of John Paul Stevens. The Supreme Court Justice.
Oh, yeah, he's about 90,
I think. Yeah, he's 106. But anyway, I think he's on up there. And so good for him for the service he's given us. But Bernanke is going to do something that typically new chairmen have not done, right? He's going to attend the meeting. And they typically, guy doesn't attend.
Oh.
Even if he's been part of the Fed, he typically has, in the past, has not attended that meeting and has let the chairman, the outgoing chairman, be there. I think that's the way it's been.
But apparently,
apparently they're both going to be there.
Oh.
So, anyway, that's no controversy, folks. That's just the way it's going to be. But it's going to be interesting to see. Mr. Bernanke has got some big shoes to fill, hasn't he?
Boy, he sure does.
It's going to be interesting to see how the people that I know who know Ben Bernanke say that they think he's up to it.
Well, and I think he's been well received, and people are pretty optimistic about his tenure.
The one concern that I have about him a little bit is that, unlike Mr. Greenspan, who actually had some experience in the marketplace, I don't think Mr. Bernanke's ever been in business.
So he's always been an academic of some sort or government official.
Yeah, okay. I think that's the case.
Yeah.
A professor.
Well,
and that
that's
sort of
not
thing.
Necessarily a bad thing. I see your point, but
no, I think. See, if they ask me, and they often do, I just not about this particular thing. If they ask me, I would say, I'll tell you what, Ben, first 6 months, come work in a small business. I'm going to take you around, let you work in a different small business every month, and then that'll get you ready for the job you got to do.
Well, I'm a little surprised that the president, who is a supporter of small business and a former business owner himself, did not choose one with some business experience.
Well, it may be hard to find a guy like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Bernanke's got great credentials. I'm not disappointed in him, but I would have liked for him to have had a little more business experience. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see. We'll know about that pretty soon. Within the next 6 months, we'll know what kind of a claim he's going to make on the Fed. Joan, let's move down and talk about the government. You guys, Kiplinger says that the government is about to get smaller, but maybe not because they intend it that way. What's going on?
Well, it's just there's a whole lot of people getting to retirement age.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, we've got the baby boomer bulge here, and a lot of them will be leaving government. And
they're approaching 60, the old ones, aren't they?
Yeah, that's going to be kind of a brain drain, I think.
You think so?
Well, I do. I mean, some people may not.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. And see, these people, as they get to be in their late 50s, Joan, as you know, if they've made their career in the government, they've got 30, as you say, guys, say 30 plus years, and so they have the ability to retire. Many of them,
and some of the retirement terms are more generous. At least if you were hired before a certain date in the government.
Mm-hmm. And Joan, here's another thing. You know, I'm always sticking small business in here. A lot of those people will retire from the government and they'll go to work for small businesses.
They sure will.
Maybe start them.
I could see them turning around and becoming consultants to the government agencies that they worked for, sure.
A lot of people will, yeah.
Right.
But now what's going to happen, though, is the government's going to start outsourcing. That's what you guys are reporting, and
right.
That's a good thing. Instead of hiring their replacements, they'll outsource a lot of that stuff. Is that what you're saying?
Sure, and that'll save them a lot of money on benefits.
And guess what? That's where new small businesses will
spring. There you go. More entrepreneurialism.
Is this a beautiful country or what? Joan, I'm still waiting on my compliment. You got 5 seconds.
Oh, it's been a great, 10 years? 12 years?
Only eight.
Only 8 years. Yeah. It only felt like
No, seven. No, seven for you. Seven for you, Joan. Hey, thanks, Joan.
Thank you, Jim.
See you next time.
Okay.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. Providence, Rhode Island, I'm coming to see you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.